Well, good morning. Good morning, USA. Good morning, Canada. Oh, now we've got it. Canada seems to be the ones in the number this morning. Well, God bless you. Good morning, Jesus. Yeah, he has the hearts, and that is so great. Well, is there anyone here today that was a part of that first gathering, excluding the staff and the workers that morning back that many years ago that came right here and gathered? We had enough people to fit under the two canopies right here. Is there anyone who was there that day? Yeah, a couple of people. Well, you're the brave ones. God bless you. And here we are this morning, a beautiful morning that it is, and it is so great to be able to share with you. Although I knew I was in trouble when, and I'm standing behind the table where the coffee is, and I see a lady bringing a basket of ripe peaches. Now, that's not good for any preacher to see a basket of ripe peaches put in front of the congregation. And so with that encouragement in mind, A, I will keep you on time, and B, I hope I will not offend. So if there's any missile or trajectories that you see come hurling over the head, take cover. And I'm sure we'll have a good time here today, and looking forward to being with you. Well, it is an honor to be able to share once again with the folk who show and want to worship the Lord here on the beach. And as we take these moments to be able to enjoy each other's company, to enjoy the beauty that God has provided for us, let's just thank Him as we open the Word for these few moments, and let the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts, because you have come here to hear the Spirit of God, have you not? You haven't come here to hear Reed Cook. You haven't come here to hear Andrew Thompson or Neil Boron. You've come to hear from Jesus. And so with that encouragement, let's just bow for a moment and open our hearts and say, "Speak to us, Lord, about the truth that you have to implant in our hearts today." Heavenly Father, thank you for this great gathering this morning. Thank you, Father, for what must be the most beautiful sanctuary that man could sit and participate in today. To hear those waves crashing to the beach, to enjoy the rays of the sun beaming down on us, to curl our toes in the sand beneath us, and to lift our hearts, our hands towards you in heavenly praise. Thank you, God, for this wonderful sanctuary and for that which has already been given into our hearts through song, ministry, music, and the warmthness of the leadership of Church on the Beach. But now, Lord, we open the Word of God, and we want to hear from you this morning, Father, lest we go away from this place having enjoyed all that we've taken in so far and miss the audience of one. And the audience of one is Jesus. And so we lift our hearts. We invite the Spirit of God to speak into them today and renew us, refresh us, those who are walking in relationship, and challenge those who may be here to this day and know not Christ as Lord and Savior. God, speak into these hearts today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time I was honored to be able to be here, I had a nautical theme. It was Psalm 42. And I talked about the waves and the billows of God that roll over us. But today I want to speak once again on a nautical theme, and a theme that I trust will relate to each and every one here. Now, I don't know how many are boaters necessarily, but my beautiful wife and I, we do a lot of sailing. By the way, let me introduce my wife to Esther. Could you please stand here? She's the lady in the pink hat that you may see, and if you could give her a warm welcome. Esther and I are sailors. Esther's a longtime worship leader as well, and we've ministered together throughout the Niagara, through the Maritimes. I'm a Cape Bretoner. Can anyone warm my heart and say I'm from Cape Breton here? I'm the only one. Oh, I see one hand way back there. Hope to see you at the end of the service here. And but to everyone, it's just a pleasure to be with you. But as I was saying, we're sailors. And let me ask you, I'm going to give you five articles. And I want you to think for a moment that you're on a boat, sailboat or powerboat. If you're on a powerboat, I forgive you. But you're on a boat, and that boat breaks down in Lake Erie or Lake Ontario or some other lake that perhaps you're familiar with. I want you to think for a moment, which of these five articles is the most important article to have on board? Number one, a fire extinguisher. Number two, a first aid kit. Number three, life jacket. Number four, a compass. Number five, an anchor. So, of those five articles, which do you think is the most valuable and important to have on board? Now, the conditions are, let me set the conditions for you. They are moderate to fair. There's no imminent danger. There's no strong winds. There's no storm. But here you are, broken down on Lake Erie, and the boat is no longer able to go. Sailboat, sails aren't effective. Powerboat, the engine has quit. Who thinks a fire extinguisher is the most important article to have on board? No, not too many. Who think a first aid kit is the most important thing to have on board? Yeah? Who thinks a compass is the most important thing to have on board? Okay, we got a smattering of hands. What was the fourth one I gave? Life jacket. Who think life jackets? Okay. Who think an anchor is the most important thing? Yeah. Well, survey says the anchor is the most important thing to have on board. The anchor. And I want to share with you for the moments that remain here today and talk about this anchor. And the question I want to ask you is, what is your anchor? Turn to your friend right now, whom you may or may not know, and just say, what is your anchor? Just look at somebody and say, what is your anchor? Okay. The word anchor in the New Testament is found four times. Three times in Acts 27. And you know the passage, the Apostle Paul is about to be shipwrecked. And three times it talks about the sailors on board that ship that the Apostle Paul was on deployed anchors and lifted anchors. And with Paul's counsel, he told them, you better let this ship get into shore where everyone will be safe. And so they cut away the anchors and they drifted and the ship wrecked, but all bodies on board were saved. That's three of the four mentions of the word anchor. The fourth one is found in the book of Hebrews. And I want to read that for you in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. If you're carrying your Bible, be it the printed version or an iPhone or pad or whatever you may have, you'll hear in as I read these words for you, it says, this hope, this is what the writer of Hebrews is saying, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. This hope, let me repeat it, we have as an anchor of the soul. And so the question I posed this morning then, what is your anchor? What is that you are anchored upon? You know, there have been many times in our sailing experience that we have deployed an anchor, and usually in the middle of the night when wind comes up or storm starts to blow, and I'm awakened at the early hours of the morning, and the words that no first mate want to hear hollered down into the bunk where she is sleeping, honey, the anchor's dragging, we got to get out of here. And blurry-eyed, the first mate responding to the captain's, notice how I'm phrasing these words here this morning, and the desire to obey the captain at every word, she says, what do we got to do? And so we have to now go into emergency maneuvers and get the boat back to a place where it can be safe, usually either deploying more chain or moving the boat and getting in a safer place. But that metaphor we see in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9 is the only anchor reference metaphor in the scripture. And so the Apostle Paul is thinking of this anchor, but it's not an anchor that connects a ship to the bottom of the ground. It's an anchor which connects a soul to eternity. And so it does us well this morning to stop for these moments and say, what is your anchor? What is it that anchors you? Now, I've done this little survey over the last few weeks and months. I've asked people that question. What is it that anchors you? And I've got a variety of answers. And literally, the answers are all the way through the alphabet from A to Z. Notice that it is a Z, by the way. And from A to Z, I've noticed that there are as many answers as what there are letters and more. For many people I've talked to, true, I said, what is it that anchors you? And some people say, animals, my pet. My pet is what my anchor is. I just live for that pet, and that becomes the center and focus of my attention and my life. All the way through Z, which is the zodiac, and how many people live for the need to find out what their horoscope is saying at any given day. I trust that those words are not resonating in the ears of the good audience here this morning, but there are many, many people who live for what their zodiac sign is saying on any particular day. You know, friends, you don't need a preacher to stand up here in front of you this morning and to remind you or to emphasize the fact that we are in such a moral decline. Our nations are in moral decay and decline. And it's manifested when we see that a lion with a name is more important than literally thousands of babies that are being aborted. And so the decline of this nation is horrific in our nations. I think the truth of Hosea, when Hosea the prophet said, "We have sown the wind and we have reaped a whirlwind." You ponder the truth of that, and that's exactly what's happening in our culture, in society. We have sown the wind, and we have reaped a whirlwind. Nowadays, we see that economy is more important than character. And we don't want to be able to face the truth of what's taking place. There are no more absolutes. There is no more truth. The anchors that were once holding us firmly in society and culture, they have been eradicated. The scriptures have been removed from schools, and every other anchor that was once held dear to our heart and soul and life has been taken away. And so what now becomes the anchor? What is it that grounds you? What is it that holds on to you? One time I asked a gentleman, what is it? I knew that he was a non-believer, but I was curious to see what kind of a response he would give me. And I said, what is your anchor? And he said, my wife. And I salute and applaud his relationship with his partner. But I tried to remind him, but one day your wife is going to leave you, either through death or through whatever knows. And so there goes your anchor. And so what is your anchor this morning? Now, we know that many people, the anchor that they hold dear to is that anchor that I choose to call here today the anchor of religion. And many people hold steadfast and sure to the anchor of religion. But you and I both know that the anchor of religion is of no value. The anchor of religion is nothing more than a painted piece of wood that is thrown out there and people hope that it may hold them. Well, it will not hold you. A painted piece of wood will never do when the storms of life start to assail the soul. And so we could go on here for the rest of this time just reminding you of the various kinds of anchors that people have. The anchor of money, the anchor of prestige, the anchor of education, the anchor of power. And all of these will fail according to the test of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. And that test is, what is able to penetrate the heavens and to go into the inner of inners in God's kingdom. Only that anchor, the writer of Hebrews says, is the anchor of significance. So what is it, friends? Unless these words are falling on the ears of people, say, preacher, I do not know what you are talking about. Penetrating the kingdom of heaven and going into this inner of sanctuary, the holy of holies, I don't have anything in mind. There is but one, the writer of Hebrews is saying, that has given us that security, has given us that sense of comfort. And here in Hebrews chapter 6 and 19, he calls it the anchor of hope. Say it with me, hope. Every one of us wants some degree or element and understanding of hope. What is our anchor? What is our hope today? In the Roman catacombs, when they uncovered this burial site for Christians that many thousands of years ago, they found three symbols that were predominant over the graves and markings of the Christians that were buried in the catacombs. They found the symbol of the dove. They found the symbol of the fish. And they found the symbol of the anchor that were inscribed in rocks over these graves in the catacombs. And then archaeologists have determined, if there were no inscriptions other than these three symbols, that the dove stood for the Holy Spirit. The believers were buried with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has guided them. I trust that that dove is over your heart today, assuring you of the person and work of Jesus Christ. The symbol of the fish stood for Jesus Christ, because in Greek words, fish is spelt the same as the beginnings of Jesus Christ, Son of God. And so they put that symbol of the fish as a marking and the burial sites of these believers. And then the third one, the anchor, was placed there. And the anchor had a message. The anchor stood for something. And you now know what it stood for. It stood for hope. Hope that Jesus Christ, these believers, died, whether it was in the Colosseum or because of age, they died with the hope that Jesus Christ is the anchor of their soul. The anchor of their soul. And so with the moments remaining, I want to ask you, do you have that anchor? Do you know that Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because all other anchors fail the test of being able to penetrate the economy of God, the kingdom of heaven, and to go into the Holy of Holies, it says here in 6:19. No other person or activity known to man has been able to do that other than the person and work in his redemptive on Calvary's cross. Amen? Only Jesus has been able to go into the Holy of Holies and to secure for us eternal salvation. And so the writer says, we have a sure hope in Jesus. And that's why this preacher needs to strongly emphasize that to each one who will gather here this day. Look into your heart and say, is it Jesus Christ I'm trusting in today? Is it the Lord that is my hope? Not an expression of religion, just going through motions and hoping that some way by the process of osmosis, I may get the language down, I may get the actions down, and then I start believing some creed. We don't want you to believe in a creed. The organizers of Church in the Beach do not want you to get memorizing a creed and therefore become. We want you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to believe in Him and have that hope secured for you in eternity. Now, there are three things I need to remind you of as I bring this message to a close. Number one, an anchor is no good unless it's deployed. You can have the best anchor in all the world. How many here are boaters today? Can I see a hand? How many do some kind of boating? Certainly in the minority. But an anchor that sits on the deck is of no value. You can have the most expensive anchor. You can have the most weighty anchor. You can have the prettiest anchor. You can have the most sophisticated anchor. But an anchor that is not deployed is of no value. You need to trust in Jesus Christ That's the deployment of that anchor where you grab hold and it is thrown out and it secures you. Is the anchor of Christ deployed in your life? Is the anchor of Christ? Now, some of you will say, well, preacher, when I got baptized, that was the deployment of my anchor. And that may be true. Or maybe when you went through church confirmation, you say, that was the deployment of the anchor of Christ in my life. And that may be true. Or maybe there are some who are like me who lived a very wicked and just a life of sin and degradation as a young man. And I didn't want this Jesus. And then one day I went to a little Baptist church and the Spirit of God spoke into this heart by the preacher who reminded me that I was a sinner and I needed to repent. And that day I went forward and I knelt down and I said, Jesus, I need to deploy you as the anchor of my life. The anchor needs to be deployed if it's going to be effective in your life. Don't just accept it as a creed or simple words. Secondly, the anchor needs a chain. You throw an anchor out, don't have any chain, guess what's going to happen? Well, I have a wonderful experience. I was sailing with my beautiful wife and two kids on the lakes and rivers of New Brunswick one year, and I told my son, at least my story is, this is my story now. I said, son, go and deploy the anchor. He said, okay, Dad. He went and threw the anchor over. I went a few minutes later to check on that anchor. Guess what I didn't see? I didn't see an anchor or a line or a rope or a chain. And I said, Joel, what did you do? He said, I threw the anchor over. I said, you forgot to tie it on. Oh, do you need to tie it on? The anchor has got to be secured. Now, he'll tell you that he tied it on. But I'm glad that he lives in Austria now and can't rebuttal this comment. So the point is, the anchor's got to be tied on. Now, the anchor of Jesus Christ being deployed and the tying that onto the vessel, here's a question. That's called scope, from the bottom of the sea to the top of the vessel. If you are in 10 feet of water, if you put out 10 feet of chain, what are you going to have? You're going to have drift. That anchor is going to be of no value. Of no value, because it's going to touch bottom, it's going to bob, and you're going to drift. So you need more than whatever amount of depth is underneath your vessel. I have a point to this. Please bear with me. So what is the best scope? Scope being the amount of chain you're going to put out according to the depth that you are in. It, 1-to-1 will not work. 10 feet of depth, 10 feet of chain, you're gone. How about 2-to-1? How about 3-to-1? How about 4-to-1? Show me a hand when you start agreeing with me. How about 5-to-1? How about 6-to-1? How about 7-to-1? Okay, the answer is, and I'm stopping at 7-to-1. The ideal scope to depth is 7-to-1. So for 10 feet of depth underneath you, how many feet of chain are you going to have? 70 feet of chain. 7-to-1 is the ideal. Now, let me just tell you, like I said, if you're going to deploy the anchor of Jesus, you need chain. There are 7 things within the Christian faith that would be equivalent to that chain. You've got Bible reading. You got church attendance. You got fellowship. You got serving the Lord in ministry. You got worship. You've got giving. You got these activities that are the scope that really makes you gripping the chain that Jesus Christ is providing for you to hold your soul secure in his love. Mind you, and mark these words now, Jesus is the anchor. Jesus is the chain. But we've got to be participants in that. We've got to make sure that we're involved in this. Whether it's beach attendance at a church service or a regular church, wherever it is, be involved in that ministry, in the worship, in the love of Jesus Christ. So, number one, you got to make sure the anchor is deployed. Number two, you got to make sure it is attached. Number three, you got to make sure the anchor is real. Real. Don't throw out a styrofoam anchor. Don't throw out a styrofoam anchor. If your anchor is your health, that's a styrofoam anchor. That's a styrofoam anchor. If your anchor is health, the health is going to break. I'm blessed by this lady here who's 99 joining with us this morning. Helena, was it? Yes. God bless you, dear. But you would be the first to testify that if your anchor is health, you don't have anything. Whether we are 99 or 9 or 19, we've got to have something more secure than that. So what is your anchor today? Is it the family? Can't trust in it. Whatever it may be other than Jesus Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews simply says, to penetrate the eternities, to go into the heavenlies, and to break into the inner place of God. And he goes on to say in verse 20, there's only one who has done it, and it is Jesus. Only Jesus has the capacity and who has done it. And he is the forerunner, it says in verse 20 of Hebrews 6. He's the forerunner, giving now access to us in the Holy of Holies, the innermost place of the heart of the Father. So trust him today. 1914, I close with this story. 1914. In a small little town in West Orange, New Jersey. Anybody know West Orange, New Jersey? Lady back there acknowledging that she knows West Orange. On a December night in 1914, Thomas Edison stood outside of his factory and he watched the towering inferno of flames consuming all of his scientific work. It was being consumed in this fiery inferno of rage and smoke. His son Charles, who was 24 years old, looking for his father and desperate to find out where Dad was running around looking for him. He finally found Dad calmly looking at the fire. And so Charles said, Dad, what are you doing? Thomas turned to his son and he said, Son, where's your mom? And Charles said, I don't know. And so Thomas said to Charles, well, you better go and find her and bring her, because she's never going to see another thing like this in all of her life. That seemed like a strange answer for Charles. But he later wrote in a diary that Dad said to me that night that death in disaster is good because it erases all the mistakes that I've made. And he was meaning disaster of a fire. That is what his dad said to him. Disaster is good because it erases your mistakes. 3 weeks after that fire in 1914, Thomas Edison invented the phonograph, because it had erased all of his mistakes and allowed him to start fresh and new. My friends, Jesus Christ erases your mistakes. He blots them out by the blood that he has shed on Calvary's tree and gives you a new life, allows you to start new and fresh, and gives you a new life. And so you can leave this beach today if you know not Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you say, preacher, is that really true? Yes, the Bible tells us the truth of that statement, that Jesus eradicates and erases and will give you a new life. Behold, all things become new for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if he's not the anchor of your soul this day, this invitation is to, please, in a moment, I'm going to close in prayer, and then Andrew's going to come and share a very special song with us today. Some of us are old enough to remember the old song, and I brought the words with me today because I knew that it would be a good encouragement if I quickly can find them. I hardly don't even need the words for it. Oh, here it is here. Thank you, Linda. You all remember these words. I'm not the singer. I'm not going to lead you. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Now, repeat the words, not necessarily in song. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in Say it loudly so everybody can hear. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love, the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ. We have an anchor that keeps the soul in the Savior's love. Let's pray, friends. And then Andrew's going to come and lead us in a very special song by Michael W. Smith. And it reminds us about the anchor. And if there are those here today who want prayer and want to pray with this preacher or one of the leadership team of Church on the Beach, I'm going to be hanging around by the rocks here at the close of the service. I'd love to pray with you. It's so good and encouraging. I'm so blessed to be able to see so many friends over our years of ministry in the Niagara area. But if I've never met you, and if you want to do business with God today, that's the person I want to see. That's the person I want to pray with this morning. So please, I'm going to be over here, and if you say, preacher, I need to pray because I have realized today by the Holy Spirit that my anchor is some other poor substitute, and I need Jesus Christ this day. You come, we'll be glad to pray with you for the time that remains, and just spend that time so that you will leave this wonderful beach scene knowing Christ as the anchor of your soul. Let's pray, and then Andrew. Heavenly Father, thank you now for this morning. Thank you, Father, for this attentive beach on community and our desire, Father, to worship you. And I pray that, Lord, as we have met here today, the Spirit of God has already been speaking into hearts, challenging them. Is Jesus really my anchor? Am I trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone, or is it the church I'm going to? Is it the denomination I am part of? Or is it some religious works, my own good works? Lord, I remember asking that question to one person and asked them, what is it that anchors you? And they said, well, I try to keep the golden rule, and I try to do what I think is right. God, it needs to be Jesus. It needs to be Him and Him alone. And so, Lord, you speak into our hearts here this day. Holy Spirit, come and fill your kingdom, fill your body, fill your church with the power of the Holy Spirit this day. And we'll give you praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.